Here we are, episode 6, Unreal Reptiles podcast.
Welcome back.
You're here with Professor Platinum and Dr. Vision. No, I'll get to that story later, but for those that don't know, Eden popped his spotted python cherry this week, or last week.
I did.
How do you feel? You feel like a man now?
Nah,
not at all.
Nah, yeah, got a pair of platinums off Peter Birch.
And that's why Eden's called Professor Platinum now. He thinks he knows his stuff, so it's alright. Fingers crossed he can pop out some nice A grades next year.
Yeah.
If anyone's got any queries on if it's an A or a B, feel free to message Eden. He'll happily let you know. Nah, but in all seriousness, Eden, how's your week been, mate?
Yeah, pretty good. Same old stuff, back at work. Couple of days off, birthday's coming up next Saturday, but yeah, no, nothing really changes in my life.
So you're hinting for gifts? What do you need? A couple of thermos, hatchy racks?
A couple of vision racks off you, mate. A couple of vision racks off you.
No, how good. My week's been a bit more hectic than yours,
hasn't it? Yeah, changing around a little bit.
We've been flat out. We've just started breeding our own mice after Peter Street's episode. We kind of... The thought was in the back of our head, and if we can lower costs in some way, we will. So,
even if it's just for hatchies.
Well, all we're trying to do, for those that don't know, is we're just trying to breed a couple of mice just to help our pinky and then smaller mice sizes. We still need to buy all our rats and bigger mice in, but I mean, just if we can even look after 80 to 90% of the smaller mice stuff, then that'll really help us.
Yeah, definitely.
So, we're not going. Distributing to everyone, we're just trying to feed a couple of extra hatchies and
keeping our stuff going. It'll be pretty big this season with all the, well, hopefully it will be.
But I mean, we're also started building all the hatchie racks, so
yep.
Put an order in a couple of weeks back and building 2 racks this week, and then got another couple coming in a few weeks, so
beautiful.
Gonna be a couple of band-aids on the fingers, I think. So, but nah, for those that don't know, we're gonna do a bit of a three episode series. We're still on season 1, but we're going to do children's pythons this week, and then probably spotted the next week, and stimmies the week after.
That's good, yep.
Let's get into it.
Cool.
Children's.
Far away.
So when did you get your first children's eating? What's your first experience with them?
My first ever snake was a wild type children's python. I bought it, I think, 4 weeks old out of the egg. It was... pretty good feeder for the most part. Went off there for a little bit, but I got it going eventually without too much hassle. And then after that, I got a couple of stimmies. But yeah, the children's pythons I found pretty good to look after, pretty easy, perfect snake for a newcomer to the hobby.
Do you think they have small snake syndrome?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
I've kept a little bit of everything. Well, not everything, but a large variety. And I still go back to the ants anyway, so...
I think my first was only a couple of years ago. I didn't really keep children's in the early days.
Yeah.
More spotted than stimmies. And then it probably, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I probably got my first children's.
So, what was that?
Can't even remember. It was probably like a het T plus or a T plus. Honestly can't remember. It was a while ago. All of a sudden I had children's and here we are now. Just a couple. So, and in the children's, what do you keep these days out of them?
So mainly just the marbles at the moment. A couple of T-plus things going on with them, but mainly focusing on all the fun things the marble gene has going on.
Yeah, cool. So what actually morphs are in the children's?
So you've got the marble.
I've taken a couple of notes, but...
marble, I don't know if patternless is...
So you got obviously you got the marble, you got the patternless, you got the T-plus... And those three are probably the most renowned.
Yeah, there is a few other ones out there. Like, I think someone's working with the Granite Children's. I'm not sure.
Granite, got that down. I've also got Ghost. Back a couple of years ago, you saw heaps of Ghosts floating around.
Then there is stuff like the Elko Island Children's, which are like almost...
The locality-specific stuff. So I think there's the Elkos and the Mount Isas is the other line that a lot of people work with.
Yeah.
For those that own the Elko, they hatchies, they all hatch out like a normal children's, and then progressively for the first 2 years, every single shed, they just get darker.
Yeah.
So they're a pretty cool species. And then obviously you've also got like your double morphs that are around now, like your tarbles. So your T plus marbles, your patternless T pluses.
Yeah.
And I've also included, I've never seen one, but a Lucistic.
Yeah,
I've heard reports of it a couple of years ago. I'm not 100% sure. There's
been reports about lots of stuff. Reports,
yeah. So, but then you've also got, like, say, a Chimera or a Paradox. Yep. So they're
kind of... I think there's something cool going on there. I don't know what it could be.
Mm.
There's got to be something to it, I think.
So out of all those, you said you keep marbles, but anything else? T-plus?
Yeah, T-plus, I guess. I've got some patternless-ish stuff. Not true patternless, but animals that have faded out to patternless and reproduced the same sort of babies. They come out really granity-looking and then... fade to almost patternless by a year old, so...
I find a lot of their het marbles all granite-y looking, and then they go, like, almost patternless as adults.
Yep.
I've got a T-plus, a het T-plus het marble here that's...
doing the same thing, is
almost,
it?
Almost, yeah. I noticed that children's, compared to the other Antaresia, they have, like, a different night cycle, if you know what I mean. Like, they change almost the tone of night.
Yeah.
So it's similar to Ghost, obviously that's exactly Ghost to a T, but even like the double het that I was telling you about, it gets this real nice purple haze throughout the night, which is pretty cool. Sure. So anything else, any of the granites or ghosts or anything?
Not anymore. I had a ghost back in the day there for a little while. I forget what happened to that. I think went to a mate or something. Mm. But yeah, no, the granites I haven't even seen for sale. Before, so I think
they're only proven a year or two ago. They've been around for a while, but I think they're being proven recessive for those that know it. I think Reptile Territory produced them and proved them out, and I think there's a couple people in Melbourne that have got them and working with them.
Yep.
Interesting to see if they put them into the tarbles.
Definitely, that'd be pretty cool.
It'd be pretty cool.
Keep it pure.
And then so it's just the marbles and T plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Pretty much.
I'm the same, mate. I think got a couple of multi-gene animals, so T plus het marbles, marble het T pluses, and double hets, and a couple of normal T pluses, and a couple of normal marbles.
Yep.
Interesting times ahead. I want to get a Chimera.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty cool. Even if they don't do anything, like they're probably the closest thing to the coolest snake on the planet. So imagine if we could actually work out what it was.
Definitely.
Look, mate, so we're talking children's. How do you go about breeding them? What are your weights? Let's talk just children's. I know this is an air podcast, but let's just talk purely children's. You keep them back a couple of marbles to breed. How do you do it?
So, usually I can get I've got a female this season. I'll be breeding. She's from two seasons ago, so 18 months old.
Yeah.
I've been just smashing her with food from day one, pretty much weekly.
Okay.
When they're probably under 6 months, I'll be giving them more smaller feeds more frequently.
Yeah.
And then as they get a bit older, I'll just be giving them as bigger feeds as they'll take, hopefully rats, and then stacking on the weight, really. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'd probably, about 300 minimum, but I'd prefer to get closer to 350 if you can.
Okay, so we like to be on the safe side, so I know that a lot of people have bred children, females between 2 and 250.
Yeah.
So that's pretty small, but we like to get our snakes. We decide what we're going to keep back a lot early. That's why a lot of people see us. If we do decide to sell something, we'll go, it was a holdback. Because a lot of the times we pick our holdbacks very early on because we know we want to breed them. And then we the minute that we decide to keep them back, the minute they have their first feed, they get straight into to we're going to breed you in 18 months' time regime. Yeah. So you can, I think, do around 250. I like over 250. I like as big as over 300.
Yeah.
What about the males? What do they need to be?
Well, for males, I've heard, I think, of people breeding them at 70 grams successfully.
Jesus, that's small.
Which is crazy. My first male marble bred at 18 months, and he weighed, I think, 110 grams.
Yeah, okay.
And produce 14 healthy eggs.
110. I've had Stimmies breed 110.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if children's could do less, so.
Yeah.
But, okay, so you're smashing them with food. When do you start breeding and cooling them, etc.?
I'll start cooling probably beginning of April, I guess, when it starts to cool down. Oh, not beginning of April, beginning of March, probably slowly start to ease into it.
Yep.
As the temperature drops, like we've previously discussed, and then cut the hours very slowly and just let the natural temperature outside the racks do their thing. Really, that's worked for me the past few seasons. So
you just take away their exposure to the amount of heat they can get, and then you just let the ambient temperature in the rooms cool them.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much for the most part.
Okay, so you've got them together now.
I've done a couple of pairings. Yeah, not going too hard into it just yet, but I've had the marble lock up with a het so far, and then probably in the next fortnight or so we'll start doing some other introductions with other children stuff.
Yeah, I haven't done anything yet.
Yep.
I generally...
When are you going to wait till?
January, pretty much. April. So April is when I start dropping temps. Considering how cold it's gotten as quickly as it has in New South Wales, I was going to do a full month of cooling, but I'm probably in about week 2.5, 3 now of like proper cooling.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm probably going to do pairings the end of this week, next week. Yeah. And generally it'll be the children's stuff.
Yeah.
I've only got a couple pairings of children's, but before you know it, the Macs are right around the corner.
That's right.
So that's why we're doing the children's podcast first, just because they're the first cab off the rank when it comes to pairings together. And I know you can all pair them all together. You've got Stimmies locking up there too, don't you?
I have had one pair, yep.
Yeah. So generally, though, the children's are the first to lock, they're the first to lay, they're the first to do everything. So cool. So what are you calling them down to?
They're getting, at the moment, they're probably, I think the other night I got one at like 14.5 degrees, which was pretty cold.
It's been cold.
But
we're giving them nice hot days.
Yeah, well, they're still 32,
34.
Still getting the same sort of hotspots.
Okay.
So.
Sweet, and you do male to female in the pairings, introductions?
Yeah.
Yep, cool. Yep,
always.
How big are the hatchies? For those that I don't know.
Well, I've seen it range from a pair of, one set of twins, I should say, that I got out of my first marble to hit clutch. They were, I think, 2 grams each or something crazy like that. They, One didn't make it, and now one's powering along, I think, ready to breed this season.
Oh, how good.
That's over at our good mate Peter Street's house.
Streeto. Shout out to him. But, for those, obviously you can have big children's clutches and big children's hatchies, but they're generally the smallest. If you listen to some of our other podcasts, I had that neglected clutch of a failed maternal that ended up being really small hatchies. They're still alive right now. So, yeah, they're generally the smallest. Last season we kept ours in, what are we keeping them? We started them out in Chinese containers, like big ones.
Yeah.
One litre?
I
think they're about 750, 1 litre. Yeah. They're the bigger, taller ones that people put greens in the early days.
Yeah.
So we started them out in there, and then there wasn't enough room for us to move when we're trying to get them feeding, so then we upped them to the vision racks.
Yeah.
But obviously with the vision racks, because the holes are so small, we had to chuck, I think it was Marty told us this.
Yeah.
In Melbourne. He told us the trick of putting, what is it? Like a gyprock tape, yep. I think it is, over the...
Works a treat.
Yeah. Back at like probably 2 seasons ago, I was sitting in the lounge room with a soldering iron melting fly screen to one of my racks.
Yeah.
I didn't want to take it apart, so it was very difficult.
Yeah.
But that gyprocking tape works so, so well and so easy. And basically what ends up happening is the little ants, they try and stick their nose through, and they either one, escape, or two, they stick their nose in, and unfortunately you open the tub and you've got one snake turns into two.
Yeah.
And it's a sad part of it, but it's just something to be aware of. Like, the vision racks are made for carpets and balls, so
yeah,
not anti-aesia. But they're sure. Awesome racks, though. What racks are you using for, obviously we're building racks now, what tubs are you using, and what sort of racks are you using for this season for the children's and the...
For the hatchies?
Ants? Yeah, for the other hatchies.
We're going to give the 5 litre reject shop. Are they 5 litre? No,
I think they're 7.
7 litre, yep.
I think they're 7. For those that... A lot of people use them. They're like... the same size as a 7 litre Sistema, is it?
Yeah, they would be.
Okay, they're about the same size as that, but they're probably about... I think they're about $2.50 each.
Yeah.
So they're a lot cheaper. So we're going to try and give them a run. You're a bit worried about them being too big for little hatchos.
It's a bit bigger than I'd usually go, but I'd give it a crack.
I mean, paper towel. I mean, I liked with the small hatchies.
Keep them hot.
Well, I'll go get, I'll get a paper towel, like one square, scrunch it up and chuck it in the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can use that as a hide, or I'll like get toilet paper rolls and cut them in half and use them as little hides.
That's my usual go-to, those.
Generally, if you keep them nice and hot, and in our room it's hot anyway, especially during hatchy time, that it'll be pretty sweet. So,
for sure.
We're going to give them a go, and obviously, we're using lids. I know what we're using, but for the fiends, no lids. We're probably going to do not even a mil gap. I think Peter Birch said it a couple of years ago on a couple of different programs. If you can fit your credit card through it, say goodbye to your snake because they can get out of the tightest spots.
Yeah.
So that's what we're giving this season. There you go. So you said you had a couple of pairs together. What are you planning on breeding this year, and what's your end result with them for this season? Children's wise. Oh, yeah, with the children podcast, mate.
Yep. So, yeah, just more marbles. I might put a marble to a marble for the first time. I haven't done that yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
So, a nice white male or whitish male to a lighter different
sort of... He is white. He's a white base with he's the type of the white base with the grey and black peppering.
Dorsal stripe.
And he's got a bit of a dorsal stripe. He's a stunner. So yep. And you're putting him to a very similar female. It's a bit more peppered, but she's got a white base.
And the completely black tail pretty much on her.
Yeah, that's right. That'll be an awesome pairing.
Pretty excited about that one.
Yeah.
We've had locks from them, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You tell me that one. How good's that?
Yeah.
My fingers are crossed for you. She's a nice big girl too. So
yeah, I think she weighs about 480 or something.
Wow. Hopefully she has at least 12 to... What's the general size of a children's clutch?
They can range from probably anywhere from 5 to 16. Well, they can go higher than that, of course. But for the most part, I think you'll find your clutches are within that range.
This season, I'm going to try and breed a young female. A couple double hairs.
Yep.
They're on the smaller side. They're literally still in the heated racks right now. After this, we're putting them to the cooling racks. So they're going to be my first time breeding small children's. But every other children's I've had has been like a 2.5, 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And they've had around 12.
Yeah, cool.
So I've heard reports of children's having 3 all the way up to 20.
Yeah, for sure.
And the egg size, can you give a rough idea?
To be honest, I've never actually weighed them. I'm not...
I'm trying to think. They're not.
They're small.
They're small. I'm trying to. We just had Easter. They're not a big Easter. You got your little Cadbury eggs. Not that small. You probably call it
almost 2 of those.
2 of them together, and you're probably looking at a children's egg.
Yeah.
Pretty small.
Yeah.
And we do a. We like to use the suspended method. So I think last season I always had perlite underneath with water.
Yep.
On top of a grid. But this season I'm going to do things a bit differently because I had some troubles last year with the perlite. So
yep.
We're going to do over a grid, over literally just a wet sponge.
Try and limit the amount splashing
of... The sponge is one to avoid splashing. And 2, not as much water as last season. Yep. Plus literally the sponges will be brand new and there's going to be nothing from the outside coming in. That's so right. We already use gloves to take our eggs off the female, so nothing from the outside getting in. And what do you incubate them at for temperature-wise?
I like to incubate them at about 31, yep. 31 and a half.
Yep.
But yeah, I've found they come out around the 54 to 60-day mark, somewhere in between that.
Yeah.
I think that's the range I've had with them.
Earliest I've had 48 days.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, the hotter you incubate them, the quicker they're going to hatch.
Yeah, that's right.
This season, I think we've set our incubator to have a couple shells sitting around 30.5 and then the hotter shelf being 32.
Yeah.
I want to give an entry... I want to give an albino mat clutch 32 when only 1 or 2. Okay. Last year, I did 31.5 and they hatched out fine. So, yeah. I don't change if it works, but, I mean, I want to... Always in this hobby, you're always trying to improve things, and
yeah,
if you do things better, why not?
Progression.
So, you got a couple pairings this season. I think you've got more than me. I've just got the couple of marbles and double
heads. So far, anyway, you'll soon overtake me, I'm sure.
Yeah, with all the other species.
Yeah.
But where do you see the future for children's? Obviously, they're pretty
exciting.
Yeah, I think that out of all three of them, obviously we're forgetting pygmies, but there's no real morphs unless you count the pearl pathensis. But we don't have enough experience with pygmies to an episode on pygmies. I think they're leading the way as far as morphs. I'm a Mac guy. You're a Mac guy now.
There's a bit of something in it for everyone, I guess, with every species.
So where do you see it going?
I think there's something to be unlocked with the marbles and the chimeras and all the freaky paradox stuff.
It's occurring too much. For those that don't know, Steve Crothers, good friend of ours, he produced a couple last season, and there's a picture on his account of a tub of chimeras.
Yeah,
and it's just nuts.
Guy Hutchings as well did a few.
Oh yeah, Guy got one last year and the year before, didn't he? Yeah,
he did. I think he's working with them a little bit.
That'll be cool. Like honestly, there's. I look at a marble. I think I said today to Brett Moy, I'm looking at them more and more every week. Every week, someone posts more.
Yeah.
Of a marble, and I think there's more to it.
Like I had one coming out of the whole clutch. Last season with a white tip on its tail, and that almost it's just completely void of any.
That reminds me, Kurt's done a post, did a post this week. And he had some really dark peppering on a marble, but they also had the white patches coming up it. You know, we had, for those that know, Peter Birch, we had a chat with him the other day, and he reckons there's so much more to marbles than we've seen.
Yeah.
So, and he reckons that there's a lot to be done, and then ever since he said that, I look at them differently. I mean, you look at a marble, and there's even between the yellow and the white base, and the high peppering and the not high peppering, there's so many different things going on.
There is.
That we don't understand. I don't understand it. Everyone I've talked to doesn't understand.
The white heads and the different coloured eyes sometimes.
White patches, different eyes. Blue what patches. Brings out black? What brings out even the. Eden's got some stuff that he bred that's got like a gold dusting through it. Like. Then on top of that, you look at chimeras, you look at the tail. Like, there's just so much to it. Where do you think it's going? Where do you see it going?
I reckon it's going to keep climbing, really. Like, someone's going to work out one thing, and then, for instance, the granites get thrown in with the T plus, and then. Marble,
potentially. Obviously, a marble granite, I think that would be a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. I think the marble would try and overpower the granite, and you'd get a pretty similar response anyway.
Pretty similar for the most part. It might do something to it. Who knows? Not sure if anyone's done it yet. But yeah, there's lots of different avenues that it can go down, I guess.
Let's just open our eyes for a minute. What do you see with the children's and all the morphs they have, the T plus, the marbles, everything, the granites? What combination do you want to see the most with other ant species? So Max and Steve.
Yeah. Our marbles, I reckon, is at the top of my list.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I've.
You know what I've been thinking lately? Platinum marble.
Platinum marble.
I know we've talked a lot about platinums this episode, and we're still gonna be. They're the flavour of the month, I think.
Yeah.
But honestly, imagine what the platinum would do.
Yeah, I honestly didn't even think about that one yet.
But I'm with you. The marble, marble.
I reckon the platinum could add a lot of cool stuff to.
Depends that we haven't worked at all with platinums until now, and I've got a couple growing out, but you've got some more
replicas of the adults out, I guess.
Yeah, not nice snakes. Adults. So, what else we got? What else we got on the cards tonight?
Oh, you tell me.
So we had a couple of questions. Let's just say, not only children will open our eyes again. We've had a question this week. What happens if you've got ant trees that you want to feed rats, but they don't eat them? They only want mice.
Well, not all.
I've got a couple methods, but what do you do?
Not all. Barely any of my adults really eat rats anyway. There's only a few that do. But if they don't, me personally, I'd just feed them more jumbo mice or adult mice, whatever you want to feed them more frequently.
Yeah.
To substitute for the fat content and size of the rats.
Children's are the smallest out of the three, I believe, anyway.
Yeah.
There goes pygmy, children's, Timmy's, Max.
Yeah, I guess you get different.
So I split my feed days up between the Max, Timmy's and children's, and I'll do one day where I defrost only mice, and I'll do one day when I only defrost rats.
Yeah.
Literally, if I try and feed a children's a rat and she doesn't eat it, then the next day I feed mice, I'll feed it to her.
Yeah, okay.
So it doesn't bother me if they do or don't eat. It's sometimes annoying, but it is what it is. And that's what we said earlier, even though we're breeding mice now, I'm still going to have to buy rats in because a lot of the Big Macs,
yeah.
I've got some Big Macs and big het albs that are up to over a kilo. So they need small rats.
Yeah, for sure. And if hatchling stuff's eating rats, that can make life a lot easier as well if you want to get stuff up to size.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you get an Antaresia, well, pinky fuzzy, then straight onto pink rats again.
Yeah.
They grow pretty quick. I don't know if it's the bone density difference or I don't know what it is, but they just grow on them.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, at the end of the day, I don't have time to stuff around. I'll literally only do mice up until weaned to adults, and then I might start offering them some hopper rats. But other than that, another question this week. Back on that one. If you are dead set on getting them to eat rats,
yep.
Some methods are scenting. So you get you defrost a mouse. The
same tub as a rat.
You could even defrost one rat and a whole tub of mice, or vice versa.
Yep.
You could cut the hair off a mouse, stick it on the rat, wash a rat completely to the smell the rat's gone, and then chuck a mouse scent on it.
Yep.
There's heaps of different things you can do.
Cool.
If you've got a big children's that'll only eat mice, sometimes feed it a small mouse, and then when it's eating the mouse, quickly sneak a rat in behind the mouse, and then choo-choo train it.
A couple of times.
That's what I call it, choo-choo train. Yeah. But there are a couple of ways that you can get it done.
Yeah, cool.
Another question from the same guy. Where the hell do you get vision rats?
I've just been lucky. I've only got one at the moment, the V70. I'm renting Jake, a few of Jake's little ones out.
rent, hey? I'm going to have to start charging you then, aren't I?
Yeah. Nah, you'll be right. Yeah, they've just popped up. My one did. I got a good steal on that one. I just snatched it up as soon as I saw it, and luckily enough, I got it. But, I think you've hunted for them a little bit.
Yeah, the Vision Racks, you can buy them brand new from Snake Racks Australia. With everything that's happening in the world, I think they're having trouble getting more in.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously are a little bit more costly when you buy them brand new, but they are definitely worth it. If you're persistent and you look every week and you're always online, you might be able to find someone selling one secondhand, but even then it's very unlucky. And the chances are someone will snap it up before you. But if you're quick and you're not stuff around, then there's no reason why you can't get a couple.
Yeah.
Eden and I have had a couple of serious chats this week, and I think we're going to be using the Visions for more holdbacks and adults. The way the racks are, we're better off just building melamine racks for the hatchies. Don't get us wrong, we do love the hatchie racks. And no, we're not selling any of ours, so no, don't want messages. Because the beauty of Vision is that you can, in the hatchie racks, you can use the short V35 tubs.
That's right.
So that'll be perfect for some holdbacks that are coming up. So definitely. We do need more of them. But yeah, for the very young hatchies and moving forward from here, we'll probably be using melamine.
Yep.
And those reject
top shubs.
Shop tubs. I can't say it. I've said it too much lately. But I mean, I know that we're going to be doing these racks, but I mean, we were toying with the idea of getting little 3-litre and 2-litre tubs. And
yeah, we found a few.
Found a couple, but I mean, the thing with small tubs is if you build X and Y amount of racks with them,
yeah,
they're going to grow and they're going to move, that's need right. a bigger tub. So we're better it off just putting them and trying to deck everything out with the 5-litre so they have that little bit longer in there.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I'm sorry that we couldn't help you on the Vision Racks a little bit more. Maybe when everything changes over, it's obviously hard with the Aussie dollar. Because obviously you need to import them from America.
Yeah.
Another big shout out to... that was the only questions this week. Had a bit of a quiet one. We've sold a few snakes. Eden and I might seem a bit tired tonight because we've been absolutely flat out. Like I said, we've been building racks and working and trying to sell the last couple of snakes. So... huge shout out to, isn't it FNL, Friday Night Live?
FNL, yep.
Reptile Chat.
Yep.
Troy and Wayne. Troy gave us a nice little shout out the other night, so it's only right that we do him the same.
Bloody oath.
And definitely. Then likewise to Peter Birch. He's been helping us out a bit lately.
Definitely.
The Ant King, the master. He'll give him a run for the platinums, but
oh, I don't know.
Speaking about platinums, I know Pete's got some crackers and everyone that you'd be looking at Pete's stuff, but have you seen Kurt Lively from Progressive Pythons?
Yeah, I have. I saw that earlier.
He's posted a couple in the last week. I think he said there was a B grade and even an A grade.
Yeah.
He posted, I think, tonight or last night.
It was crazy looking, that one he posted tonight. It's really different.
I think he, correct me if I'm wrong, Kurt, but I'm pretty sure he worked him into like blondes and stuff, and
yeah, okay,
and a couple of his bigger, stronger lines.
The way to go with it.
And then again on platinums, did you see Mitch and Amelia's platinum granites?
I did. They're coming along really nicely.
We've shouted them out a couple of times because they're absolute crackers, world first, but they're colouring up beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. They're like, they were awesome from day dot, really, but I saw them earlier today and they were just crazy. Just
broken me pen. Damn. Good job. For those that don't know, we're not live streaming tonight. Like I said, Eden and I were looking a little bit worse for wear. Been a big couple of weeks. Only just got a haircut. I was looking homeless a day ago.
I'm still there.
Anything else happening, Eden, to fill the fans on?
How
are you dealing with coronavirus?
Yeah, just keeping myself busy, I guess, as much as I
can. 1.5 meters?
Oh, 1.3.
A couple of people mentioned it the other night with you, me and Josh in here, only a couple of centimeters away. But
I saw that.
Eden and I live together, so I think if he's got it, I've got it. And then Josh.
That's it.
Well, it's Josh. He's off gallivanting the world, but
bushwalking somewhere.
Bushwalking. We keep snakes. If you can find one snake keeper that has coronavirus, I reckon all snake keepers are immune. We pick up to poo with our hands and touch mice and rats. I seriously reckon we're immune.
We'll be right.
We'll be right. If you're a snake keeper and you haven't had worms and you're not doing it right. I said to Pete the other day, the best is when you're feeding little hatchies and you've got pinky guts on your hands and you're doing force feeds and then dinner's ready and you go straight and smash dinner.
Yeah,
I reckon that's one of the best ones.
Bit guilty.
Anything else to add tonight, Eden? Obviously a small, sharp episode. We'll try and get the next two out pretty quickly on the species. We just thought we would do children's pretty soon just because they're getting paired right now.
Cool,
Anything else you want to add?
No, not really. If anyone wants to shoot us any ideas and let us know what pairings they're doing with children's this season, that'd be cool. Always down to have a chat.
We had a couple of cool episodes coming up. Like I said, we obviously got this 3-part series of the ant complex. But we've also got a couple of gecko people that want to come on.
Yeah.
A couple of people that have been in the hobby for a long time, been there, done a lot of cool things with cool species.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got a few people that want to come on. Josh is itching to come back on again.
Yep. Be the new cameraman.
I just thought you said you're going to be the cameraman.
Nah. Oh. Maybe for the
You're going to get behind the camera, are you? I mean, in front of the camera.
Nah, I'll leave that to you. That's your job.
Now I've got a haircut, I can do it.
Yep.
What snakes are you for sale in?
So, I've got one female T-plus left for sale. Yeah,
had a couple of people stuff you around for her, aren't you? So, don't message us unless you have the money and your mum and dad have been asked and your girlfriend or boyfriend knows, please.
And then, I've got
You're in New South Wales. We're having trouble freighting out. Sydney Airport.
Lots of requests from
Sydney Airport's doing some flights. Newcastle's closed, from what I've been told. So bear with us. Obviously, Newcastle's the closest. But if we want to help everyone we can. So if we can get to Sydney, we will. But like I said, we've just been so flat out. So if you're in New South Wales and you want a T-plus Stimmy from the Colin Ray line, please let us know. Please. We're about to help you out. Any hets or anything?
No, the last one went out today, actually. Okay. The last het, so
I've got 3 hets. I posted them on the page the other day. It looks like 2 of them might be sold.
Yep.
But there might be one more available from that clutch, and I might also have a whole back available that's a het, and it's from a really nice wheat belt. I was going to keep it back, but with how much we're keeping back, we just can't afford it.
Yeah, I've actually
I have to sell a couple of things, and And again, people saw me post up the reduced pattern yellow line stimmy that I had.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
You've got one. You've got a couple from that clutch.
I have two there that I consider selling just because I need to make a bit of room for grow outs.
We've just got so many grow outs from other projects that we need a bit of space.
If anyone wants any pictures of them, they're on the page. I think we posted them a few weeks back, calling them all holdbacks. And
yeah, you were,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that was me.
I didn't decide.
You said the same thing, but anyway.
Yeah. We're going to punch on after this now.
Into the boxing
room. Yeah, but you know what, actually, not reptile related. I got that UFC game a couple of weeks ago. That's,
I know, you haven't got off it. You've been off it.
It's just so animated. Daily. It's brutal.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Eden. What were you going to say?
I said I tried to have a crack on it, but I didn't.
I'll smoke you now. I'm so good. For all those that are asking, like, what's my live account, I don't have one, I'm too poor. So I'm just playing the story mode, but I'm pretty good at it.
All right.
It's smashing now, that's for sure.
We'll have a crack.
Good stuff, man. For those that are interested on, that's what we've got for sale. As far as everything breeding season's gone along, Eden's pairing along still. I think most of your pairs have been together now. I'm, like I said, probably a week away from starting my first children's pairings.
Yep.
Week later, I'll start doing some Max, and the week after, I'm doing Stimmies. I'll probably do Stimmies and Max at the same time, to be honest.
Yeah, cool.
All my females that I needed to pump up with a little bit extra for breeding are now up to size, so they'll be getting moved to the rack that's only, the rack that's getting cool, but it's only off a couple of nights.
Yeah.
A couple of hours at a night, so it's still not full cool mode, but
slowly.
They're all getting moved in there, and then for those that are interested, I think a couple of double heads are between 2 and 280. I think the biggest is about 280, and then there's about 4 there.
Yeah, cool.
So I think the smallest is about 230.
Yep.
But I mean, she's off food now. I mean, she's saying she wants to be cooled. So we'll chuck a boy and see if she goes. Good. If she does, she does. If she doesn't, she doesn't. Not a huge loss. We've got a couple of others there.
Yep.
Actually, you know what? That's a lie. I think I've got a couple of stimmies there that I'm still trying to pump a little bit of extra food into.
Yeah.
Just to get them up to size. But that's where I'm up with things.
Cool, yep.
Thanks for listening, guys. Please remember, like and share. If anyone's interested in any of those snakes we have for sale, please let us know. I'm sold out on Max, I think. I don't know, let me know. Might have a hole back there. Too easy, guys. Thanks for your cool cat and kittens. We'll see you next week.
See you later.
See you next week for Spotted Pythons. Thanks, guys.